fokus på forfulgte. Men hvilke forfulgte? Jo, faktisk 365 millioner kristne forfulgte i hele verden. Og vi har haft nogle programmer tidligere her i podcastserien med organisationen Open Doors, som har omkring 4.500 medarbejdere på verdensplan, som er ude at hjælpe de her mange forfulgte i de mange forskellige lande. Og i dag har jeg fået besøg af en menneske fra Pakistan. Og udsendelsen her bliver på engelsk, da vi ved nu efter undersøgelser, at omkring 83-85% af danskerne forstår engelsk, når det bliver udtalt på den rigtige måde. Det gør det her fra Pakistan i hvert fald. Welcome to you from Pakistan. What's your name and where are you from in Pakistan?
Thank you so much for I feel so honored to be here today and hello everyone. My name is Harun. I came from Pakistan. It's a beautiful country. We have a four weather and wonderful people there. Wonderful country. We are neighbor with India, Afghanistan, Iran, and China. So I grew up in Pakistan in a wonderful family, which is, of course, we have 95% Muslim people there and 5% are minorities, which is include Christian, Hindu, or some other small minorities there. But of course, this is a Muslim country. Pakistan is the first country in the world which is Islamic Republic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Islamic Republic, Pakistan is the first country in the world that is recognized as a Republic of Islam. So, yeah, everything is according to, they are trying to put everything according to Sharia law to fulfillment all the calling of Muhammad and calling of Islam. Everybody trying hard in Pakistan to be a good Muslim and practical Muslim in Pakistan. So this is what country I came from.
So when they look at you, 5% Christians, you're not following the state's rules or?
I have to follow the state rule, definitely. Mm. But back then, I grew up in Pakistan. I was also Muslim. I grew up as a Muslim and my whole family, they are Sunni Muslim because Shia and Sunni. So I belong to Sunni, very radical Muslim family. For example, my grandfather, my father, they are imam in Pakistan in a mosque, leading a big community there. I also, my older sister, she was a professor in Islamic University in Pakistan. So yeah, this is a family I belong to. Like I practice my faith, I practice my religion every day. I was 9 years old when after my fifth class, my father, he decided to send me into Islamic school where they teach just Islam, Quran, Hadith, not any mathematics or science or technology, nothing at all. Just focusing on Islam, how to be good, practical Muslim and become a leader for the next generation. So I was age 9 when I went to Islamic school. So it was far away from my home and I have to stay there. And every month they allow me to visit back my family. And there I start memorizing Quran. But the thing is, my mother tongue is Urdu and Quran was in Arabic. And there was nobody who can ask question why we recite Quran in Arabic, why we memorize Quran in Arabic, why we pray in Arabic. We don't understand because this is not my mother tongue. So nobody asks question because in Islam, if you ask question, you are out of Islam. You cannot doubt in Islam or in Allah. So nobody asks question, and I also have no question why I'm memorizing Quran in Arabic, which I don't understand at all. So I start memorizing Quran, and I memorize whole Quran from beginning till end and in 3.5 years. So I got first title, it was Hafiz. So, but my passion was, I really wanted to know what does mean this Arabic. I want to know what I recited. what I memorized. So there was a seminary in Islam I can go and study further education in Islam. So I went for my seminary in Islam, try to understand what does mean this Quran in Arabic. When I studied Islam and I studied history of Muhammad and history of his companion, his followers, and I study the history of the spiritual leader in Islam, and I have seen also the community and my leader, like my dad and my parents and every Muslim in my entire community that I experienced, I saw that all Muslim people, they cry every day. For what? Even they, even though they practice five times a day, they recite Quran, they trust in God, they trust in Muhammad and everything, they follow five pillars of Islam, but all Muslim people, they cry every day. For what? Because of sin. Sin are there because in Islam, your sin cannot be forgiven. You have to pay for your sin. Even Muhammad himself, Hadith is the second book of Quran. Even Muhammad himself, he was crying his life because he don't know what will happen when he die. And all Muslim people, they believe that when they die, they will go to hell and they will pay for their sin in hell. They will pay for their sin, and after their punishment from Allah, they get maybe in the one day they will go to heaven after paying the sin, you know, punishment of the sin, like going to hell. So every Muslim will go to hell.
So they have to start in hell.
Yeah.
And if they are repenting enough.
If you repent or not, your sin cannot be forgiven, because when you die, there is a judgment day, last day, you know, that your sin can be, and good deed can be appear to Allah. And there is a bridge between you and heaven. There is a one long bridge. Quran and Hadith said, like, if you take one of the fastest horse in the world, it take you 1,000 years to cross this bridge, you know, if you go that fast. You know, not like bullet train. There was no bullet train that time. And, Muhammad didn't ask bullet train, but there was horses that you can trust. So it's mean like it's a long way to go to heaven. So that bridge is thinner than your hair and sharp than sword. So you have to cross that bridge after death. So under this bridge, what is that? Is a fire, is a hell. So if you have even one sin, you will fall down in this hell. So you will never come back again. So this was all the studying Hadith, studying what Muhammad was saying, fear of death, fear of sin. What will happen when I die? Because there is no forgiveness. I pray five times a day. I recite Quran every day. I follow all the Sharia law. Don't touch, don't eat, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. Like everything from sin. Early morning, I practice, I start practicing Islam until going to bed, you know. But still, with my fear, like I cried always, what happened when I die? But there is one way that Quran give a surety to all Muslim that they can go to heaven without judgment. There is one way, is a jihad.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go to jihad and die during the jihad, you know, and this is the only way that your sin can be forgiven completely, and without judgment day you will be in heaven. This was one of the best wish of Muhammad. What was Jesus' wish? He said, oh my Father, as we are one, I pray my disciple will be one each other. You know, then we are all one together. This was his wish. What was Muhammad's wish? In Hadith said, Muhammad said, oh people of belief, oh people of Ummah, my nation, if you know how great jihad is, this is my wish, that I can go to jihad and die during the jihad, during the war between Jewish and Christian, and die during the jihad and come back alive. And again go to jihad and die and come back alive. And again, go to jihad and come back alive. This was Muhammad's wish.
So is that the reason why Muslims, believing Muslims, want to go into jihad?
Yeah, this is only reason. There is the, and is a promise that your first blood during the jihad come on earth, you are in heaven. This is 100% surety. But there are so many modern Muslim right now in Western country, they said, no, this is not jihad, what Islam says. Jihad is different, you know, controlling your soul, controlling yourself from sin. You know, this is a jihad. No. Muhammad himself, 47 battle he fought. And this was his only wish. He said, my wish is to go to jihad and kill myself and come back alive. This is hadith. And this was Muhammad's wish. And what modern Muslim people saying that that is not jihad what ISI is doing or jihad is doing. This is not a jihad what Islam says. I'm sorry, because they are wrong. Because they never went to real madrasas. They never went to real Islamic school. Coming back to my fear of death. This was only way for me to go to heaven. In Islam, in Pakistan, all Islamic school, they train for jihad. And in my Islamic school, I had also chance to go for jihad training. So I went there, and my passion was also that I want to fight with non-Muslim to bring the flag of Islam, you know, in every country around the world, you know, and conquer the world, and Islam flag will be the highest flag. So this was also my wish. So I never traveled to other country. I don't know who Jewish are or Christian are, you know. So this was because I studied Islam. I studied what Muhammad said, and I was following that. And my biggest wish was that I want to die for Islam, because this was the only way for me to go to heaven. I prayed to Allah. I said, oh Allah, give me one chance to go to jihad and fight with a non-Muslim, you know, and die. So, but after 8 years for my education, I finished my whole education and I got another title. It's called Qari. I was one of the best Quran reciter in Pakistan. I had 3-time gold medal in my country. I was invited in the biggest crusade in Pakistan to recite the Quran. I was honored from Muslim leaders because of the Quran. And my parents and my whole community, they was very proud of me that what I did for Islam and that the achievement I have in Islam. So I didn't get any chance for jihad. And then I became a youth leader in Pakistan to train youth how to convert Christian people to Islam. So I was training them how to convert Christian people to Islam using different type of people. For example, people who are radical Muslim, they can go to Christian people and spread Islam and offer them to follow Islam and obey to Muhammad. If they are not, if Christian reject, because the place I lived, there was so many Christian, and there's another preference in Pakistan, they have other Hinduism, but they're far away, but the country, the place I was standing was mostly Christian there. So first of all, to offer them to follow Islam. If they reject, we offer them money, land, or property, you know.
To convert?
To convert to Islam. If they still reject, so we use the some different kind of people who are just called nominal Muslim people. And we said, oh, you can have sex or rape Christian girl and make children. And then their children will be Muslim, you know, or forced marriage, Pakistan. Or encouraging people that to rape Christian people. This is also because they are infidel. They are enemy of Islam. This is happening in Pakistan every day.
Today?
Even today. Even today, you can search on Google how many rape with a Christian girl has in Pakistan and Hinduism.
But for Muslims, it is not rape.
It's not rape. It's jihad. This is a good deed for Islam. You know, they do for in the name of Islam. Forced marriage and raping girl. or putting them in slavery in Pakistan. There's thousands of people, Christian people, who are slave in Pakistan. And not just one person is a slave. Generation to generation, they are keep coming in slavery because they are working in brick factory, and they never have money to pay for their boss, and they are keeping them and their children to make the brick whole life. So there are thousands of small children who never went to school because they have to work in the brick factory to make brick. So this was my focus to using different strategy, how to convert Christian to Islam. If not, they are not converting, how to persecute them. If there is some man, you can abuse them in different way. For example, with a blasphemy case. Blasphemy in Pakistan is one of the highest crime in Pakistan you can commit. Blasphemy against Muhammad, about religion, about Quran. If you accuse someone with blasphemy, it means death. So if they reject Islam, okay, we say, okay, we will see you in prison. So we accuse them with a blasphemy case. So this was my activity in Pakistan. I encourage people and train people how to convert Christian to Islam. Because of my passion for Islam, my ministry, mission organization in Pakistan, they choose me for Europe. For mission for 2030 for Islam. 2030 mission for Islam. What is Islam mission for 2030? Mm. Western, they don't know.
No.
They think like they are poor people coming, running away from their country. They let them have a nice life, you know, which is wonderful. I really appreciate your heart. You welcoming people as a human. You don't look at their religion or color, whatever. You know, you welcome them. And I'm so thankful for that. But they have an agenda. And every Muslim, they know that all world, wherever we go, that world is our world because it belongs to Allah. You know, so I was chosen for 2030 vision for Western country is until 2030, 40% generation in a Western country in Europe will be Muslim.
When?
Until 2030.
2030.
Yeah, in 7 years.
Hmm.
Their goal is 2030, 40% generation compared to Christianity will be Muslim.
But in the same way, there would be more Christians in south of this earth, I heard.
Of course, it's going other way around. Like there is a thousand of underground churches start happening into Islamic country. They have wonderful way of bringing gospel into Islamic country. Like myself, thousand of extremist Muslim people who left Islam and start following Jesus. So this is also other way around going.
Yeah, but when you say that, they deny Islam and then they are to die, actually.
Of course, I will come back to you, your answer your question as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I was chosen for 2030, Vision 2030 for Greece, I came to Greece. I planned first mosque in 2005 in Athens without any permission from the government. Because if you ask for permission in Europe to start mosque, they will not give you permission so easily, you know. So who need permission because we are Muslim? You know, everything is built under Allah's hand, you know, and authorities in Western country is Allah's hand, you know. So I started first mosque in Athens 2005 and second mosque I started 2007. And my mission was also to convert Christian people to Islam. So, but Europe was different than Pakistan. In Pakistan, I have two big houses. People was working at my home and I have a lot of money, car, everything. But in Europe, I have to pay my tax, I have to pay my insurance, I have to pay my health insurance and rent and like all electricity bill. So I was looking a job and my friend, they helped me to found a job. But the problem was the job they found for me, there was a Christian couple, Greek. And I hated Christian back then. and this was my mission, to convert Christian to Islam. So I went there. I introduced myself because my friend, they encouraged me. They said, you can go there, work there, and convert them to Islam. I said, oh, that's a good idea. So I introduced to them myself. I said, I am Imam, and we pray 5 times a day. I have long beard that time. And I'm a leader of my community here. So I'm seeking job. So I would love to work here. But whenever I have my prayer time, I have to go for my prayer. And they said, no problem, Imam. You can work here, and we allow you to go for your prayer. Even the place I was working, they give me a separate place in workplace. And they said, this is place for you. You can go and pray. You know, and nobody can go there because it's. I told them that it make unclean for me. So, yeah, this was the first time. And many time I forget my prayer time. And my boss, she called me and she said, Imam, this is your prayer time. Go for your prayer.
Wow.
And many times she said, please pray fast and our business as well. The problem was, she said, please pray for me. And in my prayer, I have to recite Quran. And when I recite Quran, I know exactly what Quran teaches me. She said, please pray fast. And Quran said, go and take her neck off. And many times I came back and she said, Imam, did you pray fast? I said, yes, I pray for you. Allah will send his angel and he will kill all Christian and Jews on earth.
You said that?
This was in my heart.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But this was the first time for me that I saw Christian people. They was very honest with me. Many times I got hungry and thirsty. They brought me halal food. They asked me, please stop working. Come here, sit with us, drink and have rest. Before I finished my work, they give me my salary. They said, thank you so much. You did a great job. And I was debating with them every day. And I said, look, I'm a Muslim. You know, we drink with the right hand. We don't look at women. We don't do this and do that. And you reading Bible, which is corrupted, you believe that Jesus is Son of God and he is God and you believe in three God. So they always encouraged me. They said, Imam, you are a wonderful person for us. Yeah, you're doing great. So, but somehow like...
That hit you, actually. Yeah.
This was like every night I go to my home and after my evening prayer, this was usually I do like, I write my daily schedule, what I did in my journal. And when I start writing, after some time, my heart start beating. Because their action was louder than my prayer. Because this was the first time in my life I was encountered with Christian people. In Pakistan, I was just trying to persecute Christian people. And in Pakistan, what I knew about Christian people, it was Christian who eat pork, you know, which is unclean and holy. I love pork, by the way. I love bacon. It's my best food.
Today, yeah.
Yeah. Or Christian who drink vodka, alcohol, they are drunk all the time. Or Christian, they can have sex anytime in any place. You know, in madrasa, in Islamic school, they show us pornography, for example, and they said, look, they are Christian. Because for us, in our country, all Western people, if you are not Muslim, you are Christian. And I came to Europe and I realized, no, this is not the truth. You know, there are so many people who don't know Jesus even. Doesn't matter. It's not that you're born in the garage and you're a car, you know. So it's not that you're born in a Christian country and you're Christian. Definitely not. But this is, for me, was completely different. It was shocking me that, oh, what I learned about Christian in my country is not true. It's completely wrong. And their action was start coming louder than my prayer. So this was I start asking question, why? We're doing that. In 2008, there was something happened in Pakistan. Christian people, Muslim people, they burned one Christian town. It's called Majra, Gojra. So they killed so many Christian people. And I knew exactly who did that because one time I was part of that. And I start asking questions to my leader and also my follower. I said, why we kill Christian people? Look, we are living in Christian country. And
but you knew why you should kill them because you're educated in it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you asked about it.
I asked about it. Why we kill, you know? because I learned in a Christian country that they give me freedom to practice what I want to believe.
Hmm.
You know, they allow me go to pray, you know. And why, who am I? Because in Europe, I start seeing like, I start asking question to myself. Why these Christian people, they are different than us, you know, and why they're teaching and they're so much respectful, because never hit me like in Pakistan, we hate Christian people. So this is my question. And I said, why are people doing that? And I start asking question even to my friend. So same answer, they said, because Christians are better than us. I said, wow. So why I'm not better than? So this was in 2009, there was one Christian lady. Her name is Asia Bibi. She's a Christian lady, and she had five small daughter. Even there was a handicap. And this poor lady, she was working, Christian lady, working in a village side, in a farm, and to bring some bread, like €1.50 for working 8 to 10 hours, she can make €1.50, which is... 8 hour cost is €1.50, so that she can bring some bread to her children. So one day she got thirsty and she drink one glass of water, and some Muslim ladies, they came to her and they said, why you touch this glass? This is for Muslim people, because Christian people are not allowed to touch any Muslim people things. And they accuse her with blasphemy and they put her in prison. And in 2000, and there was one governor of Pakistan, Suleiman Taseer, and he said, no, she must be free. This is not a reason to be have a blasphemy and to kill her. And his bodyguard of that governor, his name is Mumtaz Qadri. He was also part of my organization. His bodyguard killed this governor. Even that governor was Muslim. But that governor, he just said that because he was educator in the Western country, he studied in Western country and he knew human rights. And he said, no, this is not a reason to kill her because of blasphemy. And even she did not commit blasphemy. And his bodyguard killed this governor. My leader in Pakistan, he called me in Athens and he said, take your follower in Athens and go to Pakistani embassy in Athens and make one demonstration, because they was calling around the world, all the Muslim people to do demonstration against Asia Bibi and pressure Pakistani government that they can execute her. And I start asking question. I said, is there no forgiveness? Is there no forgiveness for her? I start reading Quran and Hadith, and I was thinking maybe I misunderstood Quran. And I go in deep. And according to Quran and Hadith, right, I realized they have to execute her. They have to kill her, because this is what Muhammad did in his life. I was so sad one day. When I realized that there is no forgiveness, I closed the Quran and I challenged Allah. I said, Allah, if this is your book and you are the true God, come to me and talk to me face to face, then I will follow this book. This was the first time in my life that I challenged Allah.
Wow.
I was so...
How did your body feel about that?
Oh, terrible. I feel like 24 years somebody lied to me and I was completely broken and I just wanted to kill myself. I said, no. 24 years I was committed within a wrong religion, with the wrong Allah. I have no forgiveness. I can see... one time I talked to I was trying to convert one Christian to Islam, and I said, Islam is a religion of peace. And he said, Harun, show me one Islamic country has peace. That answer hit me. I said, of course. Why? I see like all Muslim people around the world, they're leaving their country. For what reason? Because they couldn't find peace in their country. And everybody wants to come to Europe and Western country because this is a country, is not Islam, Muslim country. but they value them as a human, first of all. You know, if I say that Islam is a religion of peace, where is the peace? As Bible says that every tree is recognized by his own fruit. If I'm talking about Islam is a religion of peace, why there are no peace? Even inside of my is no peace. Yeah, that was so very difficult for me to understand.
So it was not, just to let this be a little confirm, you were not contacted by Christians to say, well, you have to be a Christian now, and things
no.
like that. Mission, no.
No.
It's your own old faith that you doubted at a time because you saw so many things that...
But exactly. And when I challenged Allah, I studied more than any other time Islam. And I challenged Allah, and I left Islam not to become a Christian. I left Islam because I studied Islam.
Okay.
And I understood the Quran and Hadith very well. So, and that night, I was just trying to kill myself. I came out from my home. It was midnight. I was crying, screaming in Athens. And I went to a shop because I was preaching in mosque in Pakistan and in Europe. I said, if you drink alcohol, Allah will punish you and he will kill you. I took my first beer and I started drinking. And I don't know that time how to drink alcohol even. I was just drinking like a cold drink. And I was just one and two and three. I don't know how many I drank in one night, in the first time.
So you get drunk, actually.
Yeah, I can die. I was drunk so much, crying. Even I slept on the road. So I was just paralyzed, actually. Then the thing, I was teaching Muslim people not to smoke because this is also kind of sin. I started smoking marijuana. And I was addicted to marijuana, and I addicted to alcohol always. And first time in my, I was so angry with Allah, and I was saying, come and kill me. If you are Allah and you have the power, come and kill me. Look, I am drinking alcohol, which is forbidden in Islam. Look, I'm smoking marijuana, which is forbidden in Islam. You know, I start having all kind of sin, but which I was not allowed to do in Islam, just challenging Allah. And one of the hardest things for me was to eat pork. This was also very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, my boss sent me to buy food. And I went there and there was a, in Greece, there was a called souvlaki, like a sandwich. And you can ask them to make it with the chicken or with the pork.
Mm-hmm.
And I start looking at that pork side and... I just closed my eyes and put a big stone in my heart. And I asked him, give me one, because this is one of the biggest sin I can do in Islam. I said, give me one sandwich with pork. And he gave me a sandwich with the pork. And I start eating. I closed my eyes and I was really crying. And I said, this is one of the biggest sin. Look, I'm committing with this sin. Come and kill me. I was crying, but I started eating pork. And it was so delicious. I was saying, wow, I can have every day that pork.
So, maybe that's a sin to have delicious things, you know. Yeah,
yeah. Even though I start offering other Muslim people to have pork, but I did not tell them that it's a pork. And I asked them, when, how you feel with this food? And they said, this is a delicious. I said, of course it's a delicious, you know. So I start eating pork. But... there was two friends from India. They were Sikh, is one religion in India. Mm-hmm. I was trying to convert them to Islam. Even this Sikh, they was better than me. And I talked to them. I said, can I go your worship place to know your God? Because I do speak Punjabi. I can read Punjabi as well. And they took me their worship place. It's a guru, Gurdwara. And they gave me discipleship training. And I became a Sikh. I said, at least these people, they don't talk about killing.
Mm-hmm.
And then another friend from India, he was Hindu, and I was trying to convert him to Islam. He took me in his temple, and he gave me his book. I said, maybe this is... But never ever wanted to think about Christianity. And one day after work, my boss, she asked me, she said, Imam, may I ask you a question? I said, yes. And she said, why are you not going for your prayer? If you have a problem with us, talk to us. but we are not stopping you. Go for your prayer. I said, her name is Elena. And I said, Elena, I want to ask you to forgive me. And she said, what happened? I said, many times you called me, go for your prayer. Actually, I was not praying for you. I was against you. I was ready to kill you even. Because for me, you are infidel. And I'm so sorry for that.
Wow. What did she respond?
She was sitting next to me and she came to me and she gave me a hug. And she said, Imam, you know what? You are like our son. And we love you.
Wow.
You are like our son and we love you. And I said, Elena, if you love me, help me. What can I do? Where is God? And she said, Mom, you know I'm Christian. And I said, yes, I know you are Christian and I know you are not good. Because you read Bible, which is corrupted. You believe that in three God, you believe in Trinity, and you believe that Jesus is Son of God and He's God. And she said, Imam, I'm not trying to convert you to Christianity. I just love to help you. I said, okay. I was thinking maybe she would say, let's go to church. And she said, Imam, you don't have to go place to place and find God. Actually, God is looking for you. And she said, just pray and He will show you where He is. I said, oh, okay, this is a very easy way. I start praying.
To God.
To God. I said, this time my prayer was not like a Muslim prayer in Islam. This time I did not clean and wash. I start praying. I said, God, I know that you are the day and night, star, moon, the colors, the beauty, and the flowers, the trees, birds, everything around me. I know there is a created. But I don't know where. I have a three-way to go. Please show me where are you. First, Islam. Second, Sikhism. And third is Hinduism. Please show me where are you. But I know that you are not in a church. For me, even to think about that Jesus is Son of God is shirk, is the one of the biggest sin you can commit in Islam. That sin cannot be forgiven if you put anybody else with God. So I said, I'm not thinking about going to Christianity or to church, but show me where are you. This was my prayer. One day, I was sleeping in my room with my two Muslim friends, and I had a dream that I'm going in one big street, and there were so many shops, and one shop was very bright. And I went to that shop, and I saw that that shop was full of diamond, gold, silver, and jewelry. And one young man was standing in that shop with beautiful face and shining face. And I look at him, I said, oh, this man is a rich man. And he gave me his hand, and he called me with my name, and he said, Harun, come here. Look, everything is free for you.
Wow.
And he took one big bag, and he filled up everything into that bag, all the diamonds and gold. And he said, it's free for you. Take it. And I took that bag in my hand, and I can see, like, that was not a dream. It was like real in my life. Like, my eyes was open. I see that. I was so happy. I said, today I'm a rich man in the world. Suddenly, my two friends, they woke up before me. And they called me. They said, Imam, Imam, wake up. And it was 2-3 o'clock morning time. And I woke up and they said, have you seen our room? It was bright. And somebody came to our room. Very good smell in the early morning. And I woke up. I said, oh my gosh, that was just a dream. I lost my all the treasure.
Yeah, fortune, yeah.
And I was so sad. And I said, leave me, I want to go to sleep because I was so much tired with all the things, what's going on. I go to bed again. Dream started again. That bag was still in my hand. And my eyes was again open. And he called me again from my backside. And he said, Harun, come to church. When he said, come to church, I woke up. And I felt like somebody touched my heart. And I have peace. The peace I have never before. The peace I was looking in Islam. Peace I was looking, pray 5 times a day. Peace I was looking since early morning till evening, practicing Islam. But I never found the peace. But with his just one call, I have peace in my heart, and my heart says that this is the answer of your question. So next day, I go to my boss, and I talk to her, and I share my dream. I said, Elena, can I go to church? And she said, yes, you can go to church. I said, how can I go to church? I'm a Muslim and I'm imam. And this is what she said. She said, imam, that house is not just for Christian people. That house is for every nation. First time in my life I came to church in Athens. Church was full with people and they was playing music.
Did you still have the long beard?
Yeah, I have a long beard.
So you looked like an imam.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I will show you my picture as well. So then I went to church and they were standing and they was playing music. And music is forbidden in Islam. And I came to church and they was playing music. I said, hey, is that church or is it a nightclub? Yeah, they're playing music in a church, because you cannot play music in mosque, you know, because this is Allah's house. And in God's house, you're playing music because God doesn't like music. I never knew that, like, all psalm is written with the music. You know, King David always worshiped with music. I never read that before. Yeah. So, but I was so surprised, because this was first time in my life I came to church. And I was thinking, what they are doing? And I came in the front side, and I saw there was one cross hanging on the front side. And I start looking at the cross. I said, what is this cross about? And God took me again in vision. I saw that cross was not a cross. It was like a big king throne. And one king was standing at that throne. And he stood up and he walked toward me. And he was the same person who was in my dream. And he opened his arm and he called me again with my name. And he said, Harun, I'm waiting for you for a long time. Come to me. And I look at him, he was holy. And I look at myself, I can see each sin in my life that I committed. And I said, how can I come to you? You are holy and I'm a sinner. And my sin cannot be forgiven. I can see the time that I was ready to kill people. I was ready to kill myself. I can see hate in my life, full of sin. And he was holy. And I said, it will make you dirty. And he said, give me all your sin. I promise I forgive your sin. Less than 1 second, he washed me. Less than 1 second, he washed my whole sin away.
And you felt that?
I can see, like, my whole life, like, was washed. I can see my sin was forgiven. And he took away.
But you must have been more than surprised.
I was shocked.
Shocked, yeah.
I fell down there. I lost my conscience. My boss, she brought me
home. But you believed in it?
No.
No?
It was just some completely different experience in my life. I lost my conscience. And I came home, and my boss, and I woke up, and I was so shocked. And I clean, I wash, and go to my prayer mat. And I screamed to Allah, I said, please rescue me. I don't want to go to Christianity. But show me that in my dream was not Jesus, it was Muhammad. Show me one sign that you are the true God. No, I end up to church. I don't want to go to Christianity. But show me that you are, in my dream was Muhammad, not Jesus. But I know Quran very well, that Quran said that Muhammad is dead. And Hadith said Muhammad is dead. And Quran said Jesus is the one who will come back and who will judge the world. And I have a peace in my heart. I resigned my ministry. Nobody knew that I was in encounter with Jesus. I went back to Pakistan. My father said, no problem, and welcome back to Pakistan. He gave me mosque and I became imam in Pakistan again. I got married. Long story short is I found a mega church in Pakistan. You know, mega church, thousands of people. But you know what was my mega church? 3-4 people underground.
Okay.
That was my mega church. And we have the same Holy Spirit that you have here in mega church. We have so much fear. I'm so thankful for the freedom, the country that you are living in. You can practice whatever you want. You can sing as loud you want. You can use any instrument to worship him. But so many times in Pakistan, with fear, we cannot read Bible. Many times I opened the Quran to show people that I'm reading Quran, but I was praying to Jesus. Long story short is my community, they phoned me in underground church. They brought me home and I started asking questions. They said, you believe that Jesus is son of God and he's God? I said, I don't know he's God or not, but I know one. I read one story. One blind man, he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I want to see. And Jesus healed him. And that man went back to his village and people asked him, what you say about this guy? And he said, I don't know nothing. I know just that I was blind. Now I see. I said, I know he's God or not, but I know one thing, that I was a sinner and he's my savior and he forgave my sin. And they said, what about Muhammad? I said, read Quran. Muhammad was whole life crying himself. Hmm. Even Quran say, "Inna aftahna laka fatahan mubina." This is one of the verses in the Quran, that Muhammad was himself, he was sinner himself. How he can be my savior? And there was so many people, they start beating me. They broke my both arms, both legs. And this is a scar I have that time. I was almost dead and they throw me out of home. 6 months I couldn't walk. I cannot move my arms. I was not able to eat myself. Christian people in poor in Pakistan, they took big risk to rescue me, helping me, feeding me. Many times their children went to bed with empty stomach and they feed me.
Hmm.
They said, you are our brother. This is how great faith we have in Pakistan. This is how we stand, Christian people, together in Pakistan. This is why we hold our faith in the valley of death in Pakistan. Because we know our God is stronger. And our power is our God, is not our country. We trust in our God. So, long story short, I got a phone call in 2010, and my friend, he said, come back home, you have son. I went back to my home to see my son. It was 27 of Ramadan. I was driving car in the city, and one man, he came with AK-47, Kalashnikov, and he stopped my car in the middle of the city, and it was too crowded. I cannot run away. And I came out from my car and he started shouting at me. He was just 2 meters far from me. And he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When they kill someone, they said, Allahu Akbar. When he said, Allahu Akbar, I said, it is done.
Hmm.
I closed my eyes and I was crying and praying. And I don't know how long time it took. One man from the crowd, he came to me and he pushed me. And he said, amen, run. Look, his gun is not working. And I opened my eyes. I saw that he was trying and his first bullet was jammed. AK-47 never stopped. But God stopped his gun. I ran away. 4 days later, one of my best friends, he attacked me in my home, middle of the night. That was one of the hardest nights in my life.
So you actually got attacked from your own people?
Yeah.
Because you believed in God, Jesus.
Yeah.
And they wanted to kill you, actually.
Yeah. And when I ran away from my... That was hardest night in my life, when I have to leave my home middle of the night. With a living small baby boy, my wife, my whole family, and my own people want to kill me. And I thought maybe they are already outside. And I felt like somebody grabbed my arm and says, Harun, run. Trust me, I never leave you alone. Christian people in Pakistan, they took big risk to rescue me. After some month, I get first fatwa from my own organization, and they said, if somebody find him, kill him. I ran away from my country. I came to Iran. I was in prison in Iran, 2 months. I was in prison in Turkey 3 months. I walked 8 months. And I came to Germany and I seek asylum. I was so thankful that I am in a safe country now. And I have a freedom to practice my faith. I start online activities to helping.
We have to go a little back here. What happened to your family?
I will come back. I'm coming to my family.
Okay.
So I start activities like having Bible study mm-hmm. with a Muslim mm-hmm. background believer in Pakistan. In 2014, four Muslim people, they came to Germany and they kidnapped me in Germany. And they put me in a one big van and start asking questions. They start beating me very badly, and 4 times my head was broken here. And then they stabbed me with a knife 3 times in my stomach and I was almost dead. And somehow police rescued me and they brought me hospital and I was, thank God I'm alive.
Hmm.
This is the thing, the Muslim community, they pressured my whole family so much. And I lost my wife and they forced my ex-wife to marry with my older brother. They forced my parents, my dad, to execute even in the newspaper, in the media, that he's dead from us. And they make a funeral and grave for me that his Harun is dead from us and he's not our son anymore. After so many years living grave danger, even in Europe, very carefully, I was able to serve even with big risk, able to serve among Muslim people, refugees in Germany. During that time, we baptized more than 1,600 people just in Germany from Muslim community, people from my country, people from other Islamic country. Mm. We was able to start 47 house churches among Muslim background believer. After so many long time and years, I was reconnected with my family in Pakistan, and I realized that my sister, who was was professor in Islamic University, she also became Christian in 2019. And in 2021, they killed my sister. When they get my extremist people, they get to know that I am reconnected with my family. They find out somehow. They start persecuting my whole family. They beat my poor dad, who was very old. They stabbed my older brother. They shot one of my brother. Even he's still suffering because one of the bullet in his hip, and it is very difficult to take it out. He can lose his life. I was trying to host my family, rescue them place to place, hiding in Pakistan. But after the attack, it was too difficult, and I was able to skip my family from Pakistan to another country. And Pakistani extremist people, they accused me 2 times with blasphemy, which is death sentence issued by Pakistani government. After highly investigation, they issued this death sentence against me. There are multiple applications submitted in cybercrime, in a federal investigation agencies in Pakistan. They took my picture from the internet. They are doing a big campaign in Pakistan, the extremist people, and they are fabricating all the story against me, and they are accusing me that burning Quran in Sweden, I am the mastermind of burning the Quran in Sweden, and I am paying people in Pakistan to burn the Quran, and I have never been in Sweden. I don't encourage people to do that because I know that people trust in Islam, so I have no problem with that. You know, this is just all fabricated story, wrong story, false story against me. And they're calling in demonstration, they're burning Israel flag, German flag with my picture. And they're showing people that Harun is Israel agent. Because people should not ask question, they just kill him. So right now, my wife and I, with a small baby, we are even in Germany, we are living, hiding and living very carefully.
Do you have secure people around you? Or
I have some friends who helped me to keep moving place to place. But still, I am reaching out through my resources, thousands of people through internet, bringing the good news into Pakistan. And the conclusion, what is the conclusion? I'm just mm-hmm. coming back to you. Like there is a three phases of my stories, mm-hmm. my life before Christ, how I met Jesus, and what he's doing through me. This is like he's using me for his kingdom. What happened today, I'm sitting here, this in conclusion, that one extremist people who was sent as a Muslim missionary to Western country to convert Christian to Islam, what happened to him? Why I'm sitting today here, I'm saying, yes, I believe that Jesus is my God. And he's my savior. What happened to me? There's two things happen which changed my life. This is the conclusion. First thing changed my life, it was love of Christ changed my life. That couple in Greece, they was loving me 5 years. And they was keep loving me. Many times I curse them, I debate with them, and they said, you are a wonderful person to us. Their love of Christ make me to think about who am I. Yeah, this is what Bible says, that your soft tongue break the bones.
Hmm.
Yeah, love of Christ changed my life. Second thing was pray. One poor Christian man in Pakistan, I helped him one day with money. And he said, Imam, may I pray for you? And I said, yes, you can pray for me. And he prayed for me. He said, God, show him the way, the truth, and life. And he said, Amen. And I was very proud of myself. I said, oh, he's Christian. He don't know who he should pray, because he just prayed for me. God, show him the way, truth, and life. But what happened? He prayed for me in 2004 in Pakistan. God changed my life in 2010 in Greece. Hmm. And the Holy Spirit talked to me and said, do you remember 6 years ago, one Christian man, he prayed for you, and this is answer for his prayer. And his prayer works. I just want to encourage people, anybody who's listening, if you are suffering with your friend and family and you are trying to convert them to Christianity, you are in a wrong way. Don't do that. Because we cannot convert people to Christianity. It's just God, it's the Holy Spirit. You know. And I would say that don't tell people that Jesus loves you. Don't tell people Jesus loves you. If we don't love them first, we have to love them first. People, they don't read Bible. What they read is our action, our life. You know, how we love our wives, how we react to our community, how we respect our children. So this is what people read. We are a small Jesus, and we have to witness to everyone. Doesn't matter who we are. It's not just Muslim need Jesus. It's everybody. Every human need Jesus. And this is the only way to go to heaven. God bless.
So you continue without fear.
I am still doing that. I know that Muslim people are wonderful people. I'm not against Muslim people, but I know that they are victim of Islam.
And you are the living example for that.
I am. I love them. They are wonderful because I know that gospel works even today. It has to share.
Thank you so much for your testimony.
You are welcome.
And let people listen to this a couple of times or three, because there's a lot of information.
There's so many questions, definitely, but
yeah,
I'm
better with questions than only with answers, because the answers come from heaven.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.